tell you something, okay? And I want to leave a message to you right now. The decision is 30 here in New York on a Wednesday. And once again, I'm in the gap of myself trying to get to a phone on the ground during a specific time. When the time comes for me to make the phone call, myself, whatever I'm doing, and I go and I make that phone call at 11 o'clock in the morning in New York, and it comes to about 10 o'clock at night.
Everybody, welcome to the Midnight Movie Cowboys. Yeah, Hunter and John are now not happy because I'm back. So take that.
You. Nice.
Yeah, no worries. You. Anyway.
Man, that's a lot of homophobia right there, Stu.
You should have just seen the journalist I beat up while I was doing it. Oh, it's a reference.
You're going to lose your MSNBC show if you keep on that.
All I'll right.
With Stuart Balk.
Oh, yes. Up late with yours truly. Never mind. No one will watch that because it's going to be shit. Just like his show. Anyway, never mind that. So I've got Hannah here with me. Got John. Hey, guys.
Yep.
What up?
Yep. Listen to enthusiasm in John's voice. And we've also got our special guest, a man we've been wanting to get on for ages now, and I think we were too scared to ask him. When we did ask him, he was like, yeah, I'll jump on. So, Super Mexican.
Hello, how are you doing?
Doing very well.
He's the El Super Mexi, the legend, the masked legend of the internet.
That's right. Twitter, legend, Fox News, journalist. You do write for Fox News, don't you?
I write for Fox News Latino.
Fox News Latino.
Which is like a side kind of project thing. But hey, you know, I've
why do you betray your people?
Holy crap. I just had a... Somebody just tweeted that to me. That, like, I get that from all these Hispanics. They're like, oh, you're conservative. Why do you hate our skin? I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about?
can I guess his name? No, never mind.
We'll just call him Low Fidelity. That's it.
Oh, Jesus. No.
Yeah. But anyway, this is a conversation we've been having back and forth between a lot of us about Alec Baldwin and his major meltdown, which is and what you said on this on your show last night, Maxi, you said, I give thanks for Alec Baldwin. I nearly pissed myself when I heard that. It was like, I give thanks for my health, all sorts of stuff. Like, I give thanks to Alec Baldwin and Joan Walsh.
You know, he's brought me so much joy over the last 2 years. I mean, it's because of him that I was on Fox News for the first time, and it just every day it's like a new feast, you know, of mockery and ridicule. He's just insane.
It really is. Oh.
So let's bring it back. Like, you were on Fox News because of Alec Baldwin. What initially? You successfully mocked him on Twitter and something happened. Like, what happened there? Like, which controversy was this?
Oh, this was a few back, right? But he has, like, gotten obsessed with me. He's like my arch enemy now. And if I wanted to write a comic book about myself, he would be my arch enemy, because it really early on, just like everybody else, you know, this is what you do on Twitter, is you troll each other, you troll celebrities, and you make fun of each other every now and then, right? But for some reason, he latched onto me once, and he started really going after me, and just really kind of juvenile, kind of stupid things, you know, and I started making fun of him, and he went crazy. Like, he started ripping on all these conservatives, and so that night on Fox News, they showcased some of his tweets, and I was in one of them, and he said something like why don't you go dry clean your costume or something. What the hell are you talking about?
Twitter, you gotta have brass balls.
That's right. ABT, always be tweeting. And so the next day, it's like, you know, I was like, I don't care, whatever. But it was kind of cool to be on Fox News. And then the next day, it kept going. Like, we kept fighting, you know. And that happened a few days before, just 2 days before he got kicked off of that airplane for being on his phone, and he wouldn't get off the phone. And so everybody, you know. All my followers are like, you did it! You drove him crazy! You drove him nuts! You
know? And get off his phone because he was too busy fighting with a Lucha Libre on Twitter.
yeah, that's right. And then, like, his wife got with him and said, get on, you know, you have to get off Twitter. And so he quit Twitter. And so everybody was like, oh, you drove him insane and drove him off Twitter. But then he came back, of course, because he's so self-centered. And, It's just, you know, it's just been one story after another. And one that a lot of people don't know about is that when he left, I noticed there was this strange Twitter account that was making fun of everybody who was making fun of Alec Baldwin. And I was like, oh, that's kind of weird. And somebody, the reason it came to my attention is somebody mentioned my name. Like, oh, you know, Super Mexican said this about him. And he goes, this really odd account said something like, oh, that guy's nothing, he's stupid, you know. So I investigated it, and it turned out this Twitter account started right after Alec Baldwin left Twitter, and then when he came back, that account disappeared, and all it did was make fun of people who were making fun of Alec Baldwin. His first follower was Alec Baldwin's wife. And he had like three or four friends that were Alec Baldwin's friends, you know, and they would, and he would tweet to his wife from that account. And I'm like, oh, you, I got you. You have no idea how happy I was that I discovered, you know, this sock puppet account that he set up just to like, you know, pissily go after people who were making fun of him. And so I exposed
Baldwin, Daniel Baldwin, Billy
Baldwin. Yeah, I was going to say Billy Baldwin, Daniel Baldwin. Yeah. But I can just imagine the conversation he would have had with his wife in his apartment saying, I've created this ghost account. Make sure you fucking follow me, right? Make sure you're my first follower.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, his poor wife. Like, I can't imagine, you know, like, she has to deal with all this crap. Because she's the one. She's the one telling him to get a funeral. Like, yeah, that's right. So I exposed him, and it got on, like, a daily caller, and it got a little bit of traffic. It was really funny. But the name of it was, what was it? It was Victorian Naval, and it had like some statue, like the navel of a statue. So it was just really weird. So we started calling him Victoria after that, and drove him crazy. He started getting really weird, like accusing me of being a Jewish lawyer from. What the hell are you talking? He's like, you're not even Mexican, I can tell. And he's like, you're some Jewish guy from Burbank. And I'm like,
one of the Jews who controls the media.
That's right. Yeah. I think he believes that I'm some, like, one of his, you know, old enemies from a long time ago or something, that I made up this account just to go after him or something. Good.
Have you ever read his book on divorce?
Oh, no.
Yeah. I've actually read it. It was at the Big Lots 99-cent bin, and I just picked it up one day and read it like over a weekend.
I thought you were joking about that book, John, when you said about
no,
it.
No, I really read it. You can get it on Amazon for like a penny.
Did you get your money's worth?
Oh, totally. It's pretty enjoyable because he doesn't see his own hypocrisy of his personal politics and his personal life and his slamming lawyers, basically, you know, women that stand up to him, and I wasn't looking for any possible anti-Semitism. Now I'm thinking maybe it was there and I didn't catch it.
Jewish lawyers, you know.
Yeah, I don't know where he came up with that. It was just like out of nowhere, you know. And then the
conspiracy.
Well, he thinks he's the last alpha male liberal. That's the thing, is he thinks he's, you know, tough.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Me and JFK used to Chinese finger cuff bitches.
Hey, I'm an Irish Catholic guy, and my parents were Union, you know, and I'm real proud of that. So
they worked with Hoffa, you know, the truckers.
He's actually got a new book coming out. He's got a new book coming out called How to Lose a Talk Show in 5 Weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Chevy Chase.
It's his new book. It's about super Mexican. It's called Thoughtless Little Pig.
Thoughtless Little Jewish Lawyer Pig. Sorry.
Yes.
The other thing he accused me of is of needing Viagra, and I'm like, what? who? That's not like who makes that insult? Like I'm not. I don't that's, even. That's so okay, left I can, field. And I thought,
I'll tell you who that is.
That's classic.
I know what that is.
What? Yeah.
It's self-loathing. He's projecting, totally.
Right, exactly. That's, whatever he's depressed about with himself, he's trying to impose on me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. I'm a little younger than you. I really don't need dick pills. I'm good.
One of us need to tweet him now and just say, your wife's really good looking. Are you sure that kid's yours?
Yeah.
The AB Foundation, what a scam. What the f*** is the AB Foundation?
John is saying, he's so easily mockable because he is so ridiculously hypocritical, you know? I mean, he hung out with the Occupy Wall Street people, but his idiotic foundation gives like $11 million, and he's proud of this, he gives $11 million to a like a symphony in the Hamptons, you know, to support the arts, and I'm like, are you freaking kidding me? Like, you're acting like this is a charity? You're helping your rich friends in the Hamptons, you know?
Keep charity in the class, super Mexican Jew.
That's where you need to point him, Mexi, to the donate button on the supermexican.com site. So I could use $11 million. Like, f*** you, Jewish lawyer. Mexican my ass.
Oh, man. He's every day is more joy, you know. And that was after a week. That was the same week where Barack Obama, you know, came out and gave his speech, and he was all depressed and upset about Obamacare. And then the very next day, Alec Baldwin just started, you know, assaulting all these photographers and then lost his job. I was in heaven.
Serious question, though. Do you think Baldwin lost his job because he called a photographer a c- or do you think he lost his job because A, he called someone a and the ratings were not so good for the show.
You know, it's not only that, but before the show started, the president of MSNBC told he gave an interview where he said that he had told Alec Baldwin to kind of tone it down on his Twitter because it was too much, and so people were kind of taunting him like, oh you know, you gotta muzzle on because you need this show, and he's like, F- you, I can say whatever I want. And so there was that. But then the other thing too, if you read the reports, and this is the thing, is like, look, if he had never gone after me, I would not have given a crap. Like, I actually like some of his films, and I
oh yeah, sure,
yeah, The Shadow is one of my favorites. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I love Glengarry Glen Ross. You know,
God, Miami Blues is classic.
That's a good one. Yeah, it is too.
I haven't seen that. I gotta see that. But he, you know, he made me his arch enemy, so now I have to keep up on him because everyone expects me to. And so I read the report about, you know, from the insider who said why he was fired. And the guy said that I am surprised you guys didn't hear this. This is freaking amazing. He had been like browbeating all of his all of the people at the studio. And at one point, like, he was demanding humidifiers because his voice was really hoarse and he was like yelling at people and whatever. And then the best, like, this is amazing, is there was some lady who had cancer and she had to use a certain dressing room that was nearby the stage, and he got really angry because he wanted that dressing room, and they're like, look, she's got cancer, like, she needs to be close by because she's not, you know, she's not in, and she's in poor health. And his quote was, I don't give a f- if she has cancer, I want that f-ing dressing room.
Well, that's let's stop it there for a second, because that's where I have a real issue with Baldwin. I mean, the guy's he's a village idiot. There's no doubt about that. But that's where I take a real issue, because that is disgusting. I'm going to say this now, Alec Baldwin. I mean this in all seriousness, if you're listening, which you're not, but you should be, because you need a few home truths. Listen to me now, Alec Baldwin. To say that about a woman with cancer is disgusting. It is sickening. It is disgusting, and makes you nothing more than a low-life c- That's all you are. You are a disgusting, sick individual. Rant over. F- you, Alec Baldwin, you f***. In all honesty, like, if you ever go visit a ward with people, that's to say that about a woman with cancer, and then to say, I want her dressing room, f*** you, you f***. Seriously. You're a f***ing jerk. That's all you are.
It is pretty. It's pretty low life.
Was this dressing room at the diner that they built?
Yeah, that's
the diner that they built. Yeah. Up late, because it like took place in like the diner from Diner by Barry Levinson. You know,
Oh man, that was amazing. Yeah, I forced the guys to watch that show and live tweet it and live record a show while we were doing it, and it was so great, boring. I mean. We were bored out of our minds, so we had to, you know, look for things to make fun of, and that was just incredible.
By his conversation with Bill de Blasio.
Bill de Blasio about, yeah, the Sandinistas and how, you know, the freedom fighters, the communist freedom fighters in Latin America. Yeah, that was amazing. But, yeah, you know, what's funny is they asked him about these accusations, and he really defended himself on the humidifier thing. He's just like, no, I don't know who said that, and I'm not sure, you know, I think it was taken out of context, and I think there's somebody there I don't get along with, and I know who it is.
Yeah, Super Mexican did it. It was all Mexican.
Yeah,
Super Mexican said it.
But
he's part of the Zionist conspiracy.
But when they asked him about the cancer thing, he didn't want to talk about it. There was no denial there. Like, oh man, that's just low life, you know. And that's what makes him so fun to go after, because he deserves whatever vitriol, bilious insult you can come up with. He deserves it, you know.
He's getting a few more now after we finish recording the show. I promise you.
There you go.
Coming from the real rebel at the real rebel on Twitter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But like I said, I like some of his work, you know. A lot of his movies, and actually, 30 Rock I enjoy a lot, or I used to when it was on, you know.
He was a great Jimmy Swaggart in Great Balls of Fire.
Was he really?
Yeah,
he's kind of an odd case, because he was on his way to being a huge, like, big star, right, in Hollywood. and walked away from the Jack Ryan franchise with Patriot Games because he was a hard negotiator, I think, or wanted too much money. I don't know what it was, but he's kind of blown quite a few chances at being like the top box office draw in the early 90s. And you can see as he kind of missed that good career peak, that as his career kind of faded off and he became known as respected, you know, character actor Alec Baldwin, which means he's a good actor, but he doesn't draw money at the box office.
Kind of wonder, wasn't The Getaway a huge blow for him?
It was a huge bomb and critically panned, too.
And you know, that was followed by The Shadow, which, you know, didn't do well, even though it's, you know...
Unfair, liked totally unfair. Fans. Should have been huge.
Yeah, it's well-liked among fans.
Mm.
Yeah. And that was going to be his big star-making superhero franchise before we really had superhero franchises.
Yeah, because that was the thing designed to actually, like you're saying, John, to be like a Shadow 2, 3, 4, 5. Did someone make a whole series of Shadow films, but it crashed and bombed hard at the box office.
Yeah.
But, you know, like with Baldwin as well, like these days, like in the morning, what I'll do is I'll get up, I'll make a cup of coffee, I'll make some toast or some breakfast or something like that. And I will now go into Google, and I'll just type in AL, and if I want remembered searches, and Alec Baldwin is on the top there. What I'll do is I'll go straight to Google News, and pretty much every day, like Super Mexican was saying, something always shows up with this idiot. Pretty much every day. Like last night, at 2 o'clock in the morning when I was leaving work, I looked on there, Alec Baldwin, I'm threatening to leave Manhattan now. I'm threatening to leave New York. That's when I put out a tweet, and I said, yeah, may I suggest Tehran, perhaps? You know, just... But it's so much, and there was also that, Alec Baldwin, I'm threatening to quit acting. Alec Baldwin threatens to quit acting. What, the universe is going to fall into a black hole if he quits acting? Don't threaten us, Alec Baldwin, seriously. Seriously, our lives are going to carry on. We're still going to raise kids, we're still going to have girlfriends, we're still going to go out and work, we're still going to, you know, work for a living. Because you threaten to quit acting, what, it's like a Bill and Ted, the whole universe is going to fade into oblivion?
And he's really smug about the importance of art in people's life. You know, he brags about like how much money he's given to art. And like look, I love art and I'm all about it. But at a certain point, like you have to have some humility about it. You know, he went before Congress and he was talking about how, you know, they had to give money to the arts, and he spoke before a bunch of reporters and he said something like, you know, at the end of your life when you have all your family around you, what do you think about? You think about the poetry that you read and the songs that you hear, you know, the things. I'm like, no, f*** you. You think about your family and your children and your grandchildren. And
the work you've done, you know, like.
Exactly, right.
I mean,
right.
A construction worker thinks more about the homes they've built than the f- homes they've read. Jesus.
Not my construction workers. Are you seriously?
Your construction workers—they just think the children they've killed and roof good collapses.
Yeah.
Let's hope they're good poets because they're not very good construction workers.
the whole like arts thing is something that bothers me because I see people going like, "Oh, children who learned the violin, they are much better in all other subjects." I'm like, "Yeah, motherfucker, because they've got discipline." You know, they have somebody kicking their ass. It's not learning the violin makes you smart. You learn the violin because you are disciplined.
Well, that's like when you know, they make fun of Asian kids who are saying, oh, they were born smarter. They're not born smarter. The parents aren't out letting them play video games or run around roaming the streets.
The parents are,
and they're doing this saying, knuckle down, study, because it's going to be beneficial for you in the future. And it is most of the time, you know? You end up being a waiter.
Like the cello or violin playing is a symptom of a larger discipline. It's not that like, oh, you play music. Oh, well, you're better in all these other subjects. No, like it's ridiculous. Like the Save the Arts thing is, it's just so silly to me. Like, frankly, I'd rather have taken shop class in high school. You know. At least that's
cool. No, exactly.
Shop is really cool.
Exactly. I mean, right now, in fact, in America, there's a dearth of labor that's actually skilled, and that's why you have illegal immigrants coming in and filling those roles, is because Americans just don't know how to do this stuff anymore. You know, it's really a shame.
Well, it's because we humanized it.
Exactly. Yeah. Mike Rowe.
It's like you're a moron if you go into construction or you're an electrician. You're an idiot. You know.
Yeah. If you actually know how to use your hands and use your muscles and actually do shit, yeah, you're an idiot. You know. Yeah. It is. It's really disgusting. I mean, like I went to college. I got a degree. I've done well for myself. But like, I started in construction. My dad was a construction worker, and he came from Mexico, worked his ass off here, and he did really well for himself. And so that's why me off to no end to hear people act as if you can't make it without a degree. Like, that's ridiculous. There are tons of jobs right now nobody's filling that immigrants are filling, skilled and unskilled, because Americans just don't have those skills because our education system is so poor and because we've demonized hard labor, hard work, you know?
Well, people like in my generation, it was always, you know, oh, you're above that. You're too good for that. And, you know, I've made a point to, because my dad grew up, like, working on ranches and doing all this stuff. I'm like, Dad, show me how to, like, skin a deer. Show me how to clean this. Right. You know, show me how to build a bench, you know?
So your dad's, is your dad Ted Nugent then?
He is, dude. Like, my dad really, like, he knows how to, like, you know, when we went to the processing plant to get, like, our venison sausage made and stuff, we were just looking at all these guys just throwing deer carcasses on the on the dock there. And my dad was just like, you know, these guys are clowns, you know, like, because when I shot my deer a few weeks ago, like, my dad showed me how to skin it. He showed me how to cut it up. He showed me how to do everything with it. Like, okay, you're gonna, like, saw the head off, you're gonna cut it right here, don't, you know, if you gotta get the back strap, so cut down here, you know, don't cut too deep here. But when I went to the dock, there were just all these dudes just throwing deer carcasses on the dock and just having them deal with it. And, you know, we have a cooler with meat in it, and they're just like, oh my goodness, thank you. You
know? Well, I can safely say after that little conversation, there goes our sponsorship with PETA.
There goes Hunter's gay following right there. All those vegans in England. Done with this show.
Yeah. The only meat they eat is, don't worry about it. I'm gonna say.
I wonder if there's any gay deer hunters that, you know, like, would be offended at that. They're like, oh, whatever, I love hunting deer. You know, like, is there a group of gay hunters, you think?
Oh, I'm sure there are. I don't know. Bobcat Goldthwait has a whole, like, bit about gay hunters shooting each other.
Dick Cheney.
With guns, right?
Yeah. Yeah, because
not their love guns, with guns.
Okay, I got it.
Anyway, I've got this. I've got a list I've compiled of the top five. I couldn't find five. I found the top four biggest flops in talk show history. Now, I think we got to bring this up. You ready for this?
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
Okay.
I've probably seen half of them. That's
you
the scary
probably
thing.
Have. Okay, coming in at number four was the Chevy Chase Show from 1993.
Oh,
25 episodes.
Yep.
Okay. It ran for 4 weeks.
Yep.
And it played a fifth week afterwards.
Yes.
To play out its entire run. And they say that 48 hours after the cancellation of the show, after the announcement, they had ripped down the whole set, and the sign with the Chevy Chase Show had been pasted over with something else.
Wow.
That smacks of failure right there.
Chevy Chase, though, is like, he's not as, you know, he's been in a lot of beloved movies, but he's really not a incredibly talented guy.
Well, those of us who remember this show when it actually came out or old enough would know that the massive media circus around it, just how much of a bomb this thing was.
Yeah.
It was huge. But not as much as a bigger bomb as this one from 1998, The Magic Hour with Magic Johnson.
Oh, I watched that.
Remember that one?
Yeah, it should have been called The Lisping Hour.
Yeah.
How long did that last? Because I remember trying to watch it, and then it was gone before I could see it.
The Magic Hour lasted 11 episodes.
Yep.
And Magic still, to this day, blames the fact the cancellation of that show on the lack of black guests on the show.
Are you sure it wasn't because of the lack of AIDS on the show?
Believe me, there was plenty of AIDS on that show.
Yeah.
I'm right, we'll never sit down, man.
his monologues were just hideous. It was literally like, I take my kids to school, right? That's crazy, y'all. And everybody would just applaud. It was just, there was no joke. There was no punchline. There was no build up. It was like, he would, yeah, man, I had like a bagel for breakfast. That's crazy. That's literally all it was. This is what his monologue was.
He was trying to cash in on that Arsenio Hall fame, man.
Yeah, I mean, at least Arsenio has jokes. You know, he understands build up and punchline.
Well, the funniest thing about Arsenio is actually just looking at him when he walks on with that big f***ing smile of his. that mountain of teeth in his mouth.
Have you seen the In Living Color Arsenio Hall?
Oh, yeah. Well, that Keenan Ivory Wayans does, yeah.
Oh, the Wayans brothers were like banned from Arsenio Hall like for the entire run after that sketch here.
Yeah, because it was funny. That's why.
My favorite inner gag in there is where they have who's the mayor who was caught with crack, Marion Barry.
Oh, Marion Barry! Yeah, with, David Alan Grier played him. Yeah.
Yeah. And the Keenan Wayans, their city, who is like, oh brother, no disrespect to Denzel, no Morgan Freeman, but you are smoking. And they show the clip of him being arrested with the crack. He goes, you've ruined me, you fool! You've destroyed me! And then he says, strive to be the best you could be.
You know, everybody thinks Rod Ford is some trailblazer. Marion Barry, baby.
Marion Barry was there, yeah, right.
Marion Barry is the original crackhead.
He had 20 years
on
him, that's for sure. Yeah.
But Rob Ford, to his credit, really trolls people at press conferences like crazy.
Marion Barry had the best line of all, like, you know, political scandals ever when he was caught and they asked him about it and he says, bitch, set me up!
Oh, they say that on Living Color as well. Yeah, they said that on Living Color. Bitch, set me up! All right, let's move on from the Magic Hour. Coming in at number two, this is a blinder, this one, the Elf hit talk show from 2004.
Holy what? Crap.
Well,
featuring the puppet from the TV show Elf. All
right? The guy who does Elf, though, is insane, right? Like, I've heard all these horror stories about him that he's just impossible to work with.
Well, okay, so this is a show from 2004. And it's a real show. The guests will come on, and they'd be hosted by Alf. Now, it lasted 7 episodes, that one.
still outlasted Alec Baldwin.
Okay, that was a good segue into number one, the biggest talk show failure in history, Up Late with Alec Baldwin, 5 dismal episodes.
Wow. 5 episodes where he just sits in a diner getting drunk with Bill de Blasio.
And Gary Lockwood and Keir Dalia and who else was on there? Was it Ellen Barkin was on there as well for one episode? And
did you get that hag on the show?
Yeah, he had her on there. And
Her nose. It's just like a nose and a wig.
Yeah. But, so the sad thing is that Alec Baldwin got beaten out by a puppet. He couldn't even outdo a puppet for a talk show.
He couldn't outlast a puppet. But he did get Bill de Blasio on the show, the hottest new thing in New York politics.
Is he really?
He should have gotten his super hit black son on the show.
Or his lesbian wife.
Yeah. His black son and lesbian. Like, Bill de Blasio is so progressive, he has, like, every race, creed, and color in his family. You know
what's funny is I say that to people, you know, I'll say, you know, Bill de Blasio or his lesbian wife, and people are like, what the hell's wrong with you? That's mean. You shouldn't say that. And I'm like, no.
That's hilarious.
No. Like, I'm not joking. Like, his wife is a lesbian. He married a lesbian.
What the f*** did he marry a lesbian for? You ain't getting none.
Yeah. Jeez. They had kids. Yeah. That's how open-minded and diverse his family is.
I tell you what it means. It means he's a closet homosexual.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Good point,
that's
John.
That's a pretty open closet, dude. I mean, how obvious can you get?
Yeah, I mean, it's
an open closet.
That's a marriage of convenience right there. That's all that is.
They're not great at staying in that closet, super Mexican Jew.
I want to get back to this Alf thing, though. Did you guys ever see the Alf cartoon that was out?
The cartoon? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, did the cartoon beat out his talk show, or were they neck and neck?
Ran a whole season, I think.
Yeah, that's
Let me say this, Mexi. Everything's beaten out Up Late with Alec Baldwin. Everything.
I think the only thing that hasn't beaten Up Late with Alec Baldwin is that Paul Reiser show, that reality show Paul Reiser had. It was like an episode, and then it was canned.
Well, there was also a cop show with Glenn Frey. That was canceled after one airing. It was hyped up with CBS. Yes.
Jesus.
They can. How long did Cop Rock go on for?
Three episodes, I think.
Three episodes. Yeah, that was a shame.
Could have been two or three. Yeah, I had to watch that in a journalism class as like a like for an editorial. Lesson.
Why?
So we could write a review, and the teacher liked my review, but he didn't like that I ignored the fact that Barbara Bossum, I think was her name, she was such a terrible singer. He said you should have noticed that, and I was like, well.
Well, you know what, that's a good idea. You know, you brought that up, Johnny, you said that you had to watch that in a journalism class. I think these days, to get kids in the line, what they should be doing, instead of getting suspended after school, they should be made to watch Up Late with Alec Baldwin after school.
Followed by Cop Rock, it would help.
Followed by Cop Rock.
I think they would have gone mentally insane after just watching Alec Baldwin.
I would follow it up with Adventures of Ford Fairlane and try to clear their minds.
Oh.
At least it's a good film, though.
Alec Baldwin was just in a movie with Ford Fairlane.
Really? Woody Allen flick?
Yeah, Blue Jasmine.
Right, which I hear is
Andrew
great.
Dice Clay and Alec Baldwin were both in it.
Jeez, what's the film called? Blue Jasmine?
Yeah.
Oh, is that the sequel to his one Blue Talk Show?
No, it's a Woody Allen. It's Woody Allen's latest movie. It's actually Woody Allen's. I think it's a really good late Woody Allen movie.
Well, that explains why Baldwin has been so foul mouthed. Is he was hanging around Dice? See, if Baldwin had just like after he called that photographer the badhead and just went oh, then we would have like laughed. But you know, everybody took it seriously.
That's right. But let's get into some other, briefly get into some other meltdowns as well and just sort of compare them on the scale of Baldwin's. On a sort of Richter scale of breakdowns, how would you rate Alex? Good.
That's really good. We should rate them like as a Richter scale, but like, you know, 6.7 Baldwin's and 8.7 Baldwin's. That is fantastic. I'm gonna do a Photoshop of that and start rating meltdowns.
Do it like
that.
A Debbie Schlussel rating and you get like a great expression of Baldwin's face and you're
right. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's do Mel Gibson's breakdown from a few years back with the
that was bad.
Yeah, with the what was it, the Jews thing, whatever he said about to the cops. Was it the cops or something?
Oh,
sure. Yeah, I don't know, there was something about all the Jews in Hollywood, something. What sort of Richter scale rating would you give him for that?
No, he asked the cops if they were Jewish.
Oh, really? Is that what it was?
He's like,
it?
Are you a Jew? You look like a Jew, or something like that. He was just going crazy.
And the cop happened to be Asian. He was so freaking drunk, he didn't know what he was talking. And then he just started going on about how the Jews cause all the wars in the world.
And the Asian cop said, man, your eyes are more slanted than mine at the moment.
well, then Joe Etzerhaus, like, taped him having, like, a breakdown where he sounded like he was possessed.
About the Huckabees, was it?
Oh.
The Maccabees.
Oh, the Maccabees, sorry.
That one was kind of a non-controversy to me. Like, it sounded like Mel Gibson really pissed because Joe Esterhaus wasn't performing. You know?
Right.
Yeah, but
it just sounded like he was just running around going, like, all I could make out was, why don't I have a script of the Maccabees? Like, it just sounded like him running around yelling.
But what about him when he was screaming at people to eat their dinner as well? Do you remember that?
When
he was screaming at people to eat their dinner. Eat your dinner!
Yeah, it was just
like... That's the one... Yeah. I thought he was screaming at his
wife,
too. He
wasn't saying anything, like, anti-Semitic or
anti-homophobic.
Right. He was just, like, he just seemed, like, really pissed. Like, he just seemed like he was Mel Gibson, I haven't gotten what I want, and I'm pissed.
That's what about the phone call to the ex-Russian wife, whatever she was?
Oh,
the
come mistress. On, that was cool. The I'm excusing that.
You should get raped by a bunch of N-words. Yeah, right.
My favorite line was when he said, you should just smile and blow me.
My favorite was he says, I'm going to burn your house down and you're going to blow me while I do it.
We want some hot sex, yeah. I'm going to burn your house down and blow me while you do it.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth, it made it more interesting after all that.
He has got an imagination.
He's insane, but he's like entertainingly insane.
Oh, he totally is, you know? That'd be
And let's face it, Apocalypto rocks and is clearly the work of a crazy man.
Yeah, but you know what? I defend Mel Gibson because that'd be his Australian upbringing coming out for sure.
Oh, you think so? Yeah.
I think it's his Australian plus like his like pre-Vatican II father upbringing too.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, I mean totally. I mean, the thing is, I feel sorry for Gibson. I honestly do because he had that really long term. Like, he had his wife for 20-something years, 7 kids, and to have that breakdown through your own doing, it's gotta hurt. So he runs the arms of that Russian pig and, you know, it all goes wrong again for me. So I don't excuse his outbursts and his what he says, but I kind of feel for the guy a bit. And probably
to his ex-wife's credit, she's always defended him in the press.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Are we going to say Soups?
Oh, I was going to say, I am the background. I love that movie so much, Apocalypto, just because I love Aztec like mythology and Aztec designs and whatever. The background to my screen, like my computer screen, is a shot of the main Mayan hunter that goes after him. You know, that badass guy. Yeah, I love that. I love that image. So that's a background to my screen. But
Apocalypto is definitely like in the top five of my top 10 movies at the odds.
I was gonna say I've never seen it.
Really?
No, I never have.
Oh,
not that I don't want to. I've just never seen it. That's all.
Stu, seriously, like, put away the Hanna-Barbera cartoons and watch fucking Apocalypto. Yeah.
The wacky space race is going to happen.
Shut your face, John!
Yogis.
You're going to get another Richter Skull outburst in the moment you keep going on about Hanna-Barbera.
Seriously, man, it is one of the best action movies since Die Hard. I will say that.
Do you guys think, this is kind of a long shot, but do you think it was inspired at all by Aguirre, Wrath of God?
I think so.
Could have been some inspiration there. I think he was also watching a lot of like Italian cannibal films because of some that screams like a Deodato thing.
I mean, I think there was some like Herzog madness in there,
right?
But
probably not intentional though. Just kidding.
Yeah, no, exactly. I think that was I like Aguirre, the Wrath of God. Like, I kind of think that saying it's inspired by that is kind of just coming from the same place of crazy, you know.
So how would you compare Apocalypto then to, say, The Passion or The Passion of the Christ? I have seen that one.
They're both extremely violent. I love Passion of the Christ. I think
it was a brilliant film. Yeah.
Yeah.
Passion is a Lucio Fulci movie, and Apocalypto is a Ruggiero Deodato film.
Spoken like a true atheist, John Wright.
They're both f-ing relentless, but, Apocalypto is more of an action movie than...
I've heard Apocalypto on Blu-ray looks incredible.
Yeah, I need to get the Blu-ray.
Anytime I show that Blu-ray to any guest, they go out and buy a Blu-ray player.
Do they really?
Yes.
Really?
Is it that good?
Yes.
Is it? All right. Mm-hmm. I think I'll have to grab that one then. All right. Okay. So let's go. What do we reckon on the Richter scale of madness? We're going to give it.
I give it 8 Baldwins.
8 Baldwins. All right. Yeah, it's
really good. I'd give it 8 Baldwins, yeah.
All right, let's go Britney Spears.
Like shaved head Britney Spears?
Yeah, anything.
Or sucking Madonna's face Britney Spears?
Any form of Britney Spears meltdown.
Blowing Kevin Federline Britney Spears.
Well, what's interesting is it smooths over in the public's memory like just like that. I mean, people forget that she did all that crazy stuff like 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah, well, like the thing... Britney doesn't have the staying power in the public meltdown mind that Gibson has, you know?
Right.
Like, when you think Mel Gibson now, you think Sugar Tits. When you think Britney Spears, you think Hit Me Baby One Time, you know? And
I
Crazy.
Think, I don't.
I would just think Tits, but, you know.
I don't understand why they're forgiving her so much. Because she was hired to sing at the Republican National Convention, or she asked to sing at the Republican National Convention, and they looked at her and they're like, no, we don't think so. But she's actually like a right wing, you know, conservative. So you would think that those blowouts that she had would stick, but they don't. They don't seem to. Like, no. She just seems to keep working past them. So,
well, her audience has a very brief shelf life. Like, it's like it was when kids in the 90s, and then, you know,
and
then
gays.
It's like gays now, I guess, or maybe gays for the last 10 years.
Leave Britney alone.
To me, what I think of when I think of Britney Spears now is the musical sequence from Spring Breakers where James Franco plays the piano, and you get the montage of him and the girls robbing people to the song, what's it called? Like, it's... Angels. Every time I try to fly, I fall without your wings. You know that one.
Okay, how would we rate? Hang on.
An audio of that and make that our opening title.
Consider it done. I was just going to say, how about we just rate Hunter's Meltdown there on the Richter scale, singing a Britney Spears song?
Right where I sing.
That's at least
Britney
three Baldwins
song.
Right there.
Three Baldwins and half a Britney.
But what I remember about Britney, like, she shaved her head. She was hitting a journalist with an umbrella and that was funny. But she reckons that she actually, stupid Britney as well, comes out and says, oh, I actually shaved my head because they're going to drug test me with our hair follicles and I would have lost my kids. Yeah. Why the f*** would you tell people that? I mean,
yeah.
Why would you mention that in the media? That's what I couldn't understand. Like, the thing for the start with her, she went around, she still had her hair and then she was just going crotchless in cars. It looked good, you know, like, bit of stitch, nice looking stitch, you know. I was happy,
right.
But not now. Now it looks like the fucking, now her stitch looks like the fucking the squid from the end of the Watchmen graphic novel. It's that big.
Oh, I gotta go. I gotta go.
To me, Britney's big meltdown was marrying Kevin Federline. You know, like it just.
And there was also that 24-hour marriage she had in Vegas. Remember that one?
Well,
yeah. Did you guys hear about Clint Eastwood's daughter's marriage in Vegas recently?
Whose daughter?
Clint Eastwood.
Oh, I don't know.
Let me guess. It was Allison Eastwood.
His 20-year-old daughter.
Oh, not
drunkenly
Allison,
got married to Jonah Hill's brother.
Oh my god.
And currently she's seeking an annulment. But
but
it
the
was
thing
like
is, these days Clint's so fucking comatose. He's like, go ahead, make my day. He just sits in a chair now, just rocking back and forth, reciting like, Dirty Harry lines. While he's
why are you staring at me? Am I a pole dancer?
I'm gonna take that ring and shove it right up your ass.
Yeah, that's all he does.
All right. So Britney's meltdown. What we'll give that? Probably about personally, only give it about say a five. I think it was a
her ability to bounce back five.
I don't think it's had any staying power.
Give her six Baldwins and two Hunters.
Well, that's high. You throw two Hunters in there as well.
Yeah.
Let's go a bit more recent. Let's go to Slagbag, Miley Cyrus. What we call her ongoing meltdown.
You know, I was going to say, Britney's got a little bit of a renaissance because of Miley Cyrus, because Miley Cyrus was so awful that people were looking back at Britney being like, wow, she was actually not that bad.
Yeah.
But I actually tweeted Miley Cyrus as well when I was drunk the other day. I told her
you were going to punch her for what she said about Australia.
No, I just told her to put her filthy cow tongue back in her head for once. then I tweeted...
They replaced her tongue with a penis.
Then I tweeted Billy Ray Cyrus and told him what a f*** up of a father he was. You know, I said, I told him the one thing you can't buy your kids is a parental guidance, which you could never give her.
Oh, he knows it. He, you know what? I found an interview from a long time ago where he admitted that it was his fault what happened to her because he tried to raise her as a friend instead of a parent.
You don't do that.
He actually had interviews where he would say, like, oh, yeah, we're great. We're just like friends. We're not, you know, I don't even tell her what to do. I'm just her friend. And that's exactly what happens, you know? I mean, so it's kind of
I heard him say, like, he said that he raised his daughter as his equal and not as his daughter.
That's where he went wrong.
That's a great way to raise a fucking asshole. You know?
By the way, Hunter, what'd that fucking bitch say about Australia?
What bitch?
Miley!
Oh, I don't know. She probably said something, though. You should probably tell her what's what on Twitter.
No, I'll just do that anyway. I don't need to talk about Australia for that sort of crap. All right, so we'll put Miley's with an asterisk. It's still ongoing. It's very much ongoing.
I think hers is contrived. I think it's all a work.
I don't think we're far enough away from it either. I mean, it seems like what she's doing is calculated. It's not like she's getting arrested or anything.
It's so
she's
Alice
going
Cooper,
awards shows,
Marilyn Manson.
That's a good point. Yeah.
It's so Charlie Sheen. I think Charlie Sheen's was all calculated. Tiger blood my ass. I mean, seriously. I mean, yeah, the guy's a perennial fuck up, no doubt about it. But that was all calculated. It all stemmed from that film. What was it? I'm still here. That Joaquin Phoenix one.
Oh, the Joaquin.
And that was a fucking brilliant. I mean, yeah, that fake. I thought that was fantastic, but now it's just spawned a whole bunch of you know, these contrived meltdowns. It's become unfunny now. It's interesting, but no longer funny, you know? But, I mean, okay, so we'll put Miley's report an asterisk out, but anybody remember the great David Hasselhoff cheeseburger meltdown?
Oh,
no. Yes. Yeah, that was brilliant.
I never did. Ah, oh, man, I did.
You never saw that video, John?
I didn't see it.
Oh,
that was one of the earlier internet like viral video.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that was like when was that, Mexi? It was like 98 or something. 2000.
It was later than that. Yeah, but it was his daughter, right? His daughter who posted the video.
His daughter uploaded it to shame him.
Yeah, she did.
She was worried about his drinking and whatever, and I'm like, man. There's better ways to deal with that, you know.
And she also filmed him in Heathrow Airport in London on the back of one of those caddies that take your luggage from point to point. They just showed him bombed out in the back of one of those things going through Heathrow. John, I'm shocked you've never seen it. You've seen like everything else on the planet.
No. I was late getting regular internet like for years. Like I withheld from it. I was like, this internet's not going anywhere, so I didn't bother. So
it's like this.
but I saw plenty of Hasselhoff like clips, even in the 90s, where he was clearly drunk and saying things a little blue for network TV. And he would make these jokes. I'm like, how did they get that past editing? So
actually,
he was always an oddball.
I'll actually go back further for Hasselhoff's breakdown to when he sang at the Berlin Wall in 90 or 91.
Oh, yeah. God.
Still love him for it. So.
Okay, Charlie Sheen's. Where are we going to go with that? But Hasselhoff's, I'll give like a 4. I mean, it was brief, but it was powerful. It was an almighty breakdown there.
Sheen's... You know, Charlie Sheen is half Hispanic, so I gotta give some props to my homie and just go with 2. Go low.
Oh, that's favoritism there, Soups. That's
tribal.
His real last name is Estevez.
That's
right. First name's Carlos as well.
Yeah, I would give it 2 because I think it was fake, but it was entertaining.
It was entertaining. It was you know, brief, but I think a lot of people cottoned on. It was pretty much a fake, you know.
Yeah,
didn't seem to hurt his career much a great deal after that.
No, I did go out and buy Major League on Blu-ray while it was going on.
All right, so everybody,
if we get a Major League 3D out of this, it's cool.
So what would everybody rate John's meltdown for just mentioning that? I give it about a 9 Baldwins. Major League was...
I'd give it a 7 Baldwins.
Awful major film. John Major League was terrible.
Yeah, it's a great movie. You're Australian. You still get it. Cause
I like if Major it was about League. Cricket, I like... I also like...
Or curling. Do you guys have curling there? Or is that a Canada thing?
That's a Canada thing.
Oh, okay.
We don't actually... We don't want to waste our time walking around on ice and skittling a ball around. No. I don't know. What the hell, curling? What the... What? Nah. All right, what would everybody rate Stuart's meltdown thinking about curling now?
10 Baldwins.
9.5 Baldwins, easy. And 1 Brittany. And 1 Hunter.
And 3 Hunters.
We got a couple
every
of this game.
Time I try to fall without your wings.
Make sure this is recording, Stuart.
It's recording, I promise you.
All right, cool.
I just wish it was all single track recording like we do, or multi track recording like we usually do.
You're recording, you sucking.
I mean, what else can you say about Alec Baldwin, really? I mean, he's just.
He's the favorite of Kim Jong Il. They're buddies, according to Team America World Police.
Oh, God.
I do like Baldwin in movies, though. I really do.
Well, but if you notice, you know, the YouTube videos of him that are most passed around are ones where he's being an absolute dick, you know, like the Mammoth one, you know, which is brilliantly written, but he's just being an asshole. And then when he says he's a god, you know, which one is that? That's from
the medical thriller.
Yeah, he's playing a doctor.
Was it Flatliners?
No, it was like, no. It's with medical or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's forgettable. But everyone quotes, you know, that one scene. So it's not a surprise that he's at his best when he's being an asshole. You know.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I can't believe how many people have come out and supported him. You know, in Twitter or the media after this breakdown. Like, his daughter comes out. They were saying when he called her, what was it, a thoughtless little pig or something?
Yeah,
which was like a little kid. You know. Yeah, and she comes out and goes, and she goes, oh, my father's not a racist or a homophobe. Well, Jesus Christ, you call someone what you called him, you know, a photographer on the street, what are you going to think, you know?
I mean, I don't know if I have a problem with Alec Baldwin calling his daughter a thoughtless little pig. You know? my mom has called me worse, you know?
Jesus like, Christ.
I have a great story about that,
but you might have to edit it.
On their kid.
No, super Mexican, nothing gets edited on this show. Just go for it.
Yeah, I mean, if you think I'm completely fucking wrong, go for it. But I'm just saying, like, I've been called worse by my mom, you know? I was just, when I heard that, I was like, what? You know, like, okay.
Yeah. So when I was a kid, my parents, you know, they're both from Mexico, and at the home we spoke Spanish. When I went to school, we spoke English, right? And for the first 5 years of my life, all I spoke was Spanish until I went to school. But I remember our parents, whenever we would do something bad, they would call us this name. And you know, when you're young, you don't really know what curse words are, like what they mean. You just know they're bad by the context that people use them in, you know. Mm, and then later, sure, you find out what they actually mean. And so my parents would always be like, oh, you know, don't be a judío. And I'm like, oh, okay, sorry, I'll stop being a whatever judío, you know. And then later in high school, I took a Spanish class, like all Mexicans in America, because that's, you know, easy A, though I got a B. But anyway, the
like the English.
Yeah, actually got an A in English, but for whatever reason. But the lady there, she didn't like me because she was Castilian. She was Spanish from Spain, right? And she didn't like Mexicans like anyone else. And so she would make I would answer, you know, the questions with what my parents would say at home, and she'd be like, "No, that's not the right word." I'm like, "All right, well, screw you. That's what my parents say." And so I was always kind of bitter and angry at her. And so one day, we had this free period where she just had people ask her questions: how to say this, how to say that, and people were like, "Oh, how do you say cup? How do you say, you know, battery? Whatever." She would answer. And this, like, you know, cute little blonde Christian girl raised her hand. She goes, "How do you say Christian?" And she goes, "Cristiano." And somebody goes, "How do you say, you know, Muslim?" And she's, "What? I don't even know how to say it." And then, somebody said, I raised my hand and kind of in a pointed way, I said, "How do you say whatever it is you are?" And she said, "I'm a judío." And I'm like, "What?" And I'm like, You're a curse word? And I'm like, what the hell's going on here? I looked around, I'm like, does anyone know what the hell just happened? Like, I was thoroughly confused. And I'm like, what? What do you mean? And she says, "I'm a Jew." So, Jesus. My parents had been calling me a Jew as like an epithet when I was a kid. And I'm like, I'm just as confused as you are, because my parents are from, like, the, you know, like the most backwards, you know, like tiny little pueblo in the center of Mexico. And so I'm like, where the hell did you people learn to call people Jews as a bad word, you know?
Mel Gibson.
I went home. And I'm like, I kind, you know, I was kind of angry because I knew that was not a good thing, and I berated my mom about it. I'm like, why are you calling me a Jew? I don't, like, what is this? You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. And she's like, yeah, you're right. We'll stop calling you a Jew. You know.
So how do you say the word again, yeah. Mexi? How do you say the word again?
Judío.
Judío. Because I was gonna say
it sounds like Juden, right? Juden in German.
Because I was gonna say it's very nice of your friend Paul Simon to write a song about you two called "Me and Judío Down by the Schoolyard."
That's right. anyway, that whole long story was to bolster Hunter's point about your parents calling you bad words.
Yeah. I mean,
I really got angry at them and told them, like, you can't do this. That's not cool, you know. And I don't know where they picked it up. I don't, you know, whatever. But just like a month ago, I was talking to my dad and going back and forth in Spanish, and he goes, "Ah, don't be a judío." I'm like, "Ah, jeez, forget it." You know,
you need to have your dad on the podcast, seriously.
he needs to be on Alex Jones's podcast.
Oh my god, I just started following that guy on Twitter. I never even knew who he was until not long ago.
Oh gosh,
Stu, unfollow him right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just don't even bother.
No, I saw him because he had a... after Jim Carrey had done that anti-firearm song about Charlton Heston earlier in the year.
Yeah.
Remember that one? Yeah, I saw this clip of Ted Nugent on Alex Jones, and it's just like this tirade against Jim Carrey for about 15 minutes.
I saw that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I thought, oh, at least Alex Jones guys looks all right, but yeah, okay, I'll take your word, John.
Alex Jones, like, for every interesting or smart things he says, there's like 10 crazy f***ing nonsense.
He goes into crazy territory pretty quick.
Does he really?
And then it's always like, you know, buy gold, we'll be right back. You know, and it's all about...
John used to do a character called Richard Lococo, who was a...
I was going
to
say, Richard
totally
is
based
more
on Alex Jones. So I did the first Alex Jones spoof character on podcast, or actually on radio, when nobody knew who he was. And now he's, because he's known for phrases like calling, who's that guy on CNN,
Piers Morgan.
Yeah, he's like, you're a hatchet man from the New World Order. And so that's kind of come. But I listened to the Lococo character. I listened to his pod or his daily show all 3 hours every day for like a month to get the voice down and to get the cadence down. I didn't know who he was. And I was told, okay, I want you to play a Alex Jones type character. So I listened to him. So I said, okay, I'm going to. And boy, listening to him for day after day, I got paranoid.
Yeah. Didn't Roseanne have a meltdown?
Yeah, she divorced Tom Arnold. What?
Kind of contrived. Another contrived thing where she was just trying to get attention, I think.
Yeah.
What was that? Was that she had like a photo shoot where she had like a little Hitler mustache and she was baking a little Jew gingerbread men? Like, I was just like, what the hell is she thinking?
She also had
She's like the obese white Margaret Cho. That's who she is.
Only she's straight, right? She's not a rug muncher.
About that.
Margaret Cho's
Margaret Cho straight, I don't know.
She's a dyke, man. Are you serious? Jesus Christ. Stevie Wonder could see that, man. And she's a dyke.
She can't attract anything, though. It's
Well, she did get Quentin Tarantino once. I mean, I don't know if he still classed that as nothing.
Wait, what?
Yeah, dated Margaret Cho for a while.
Oh, wow.
Imagine that. Imagine if they spawned it offspring. What the f*** would it look like?
Yeah, I'd rather...
It looked like Wee and Hung, probably.
Hardy Asian child.
She dated Chris Isaac for a while.
Oh, my God.
Really?
And talked about his dick size in her stand-up routine, so he broke up with her, like, right away.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's a weird game right there.
Yeah.
Well, seriously, what you get, that's for dating Margaret Cho. That bitch is gross.
He learned his lesson.
Yeah.
He wasn't happy about it.
She's obviously not one of the pretty girls that don't cry, right?
No, not at all.
She's like the fat Asian girl that doesn't cry.
He has a thing for Asian girls, so he only like dates Japanese women or whatever, or you know, he likes Asian girls. That's his big thing.
You know what? Speaking of Asian girls, I've got to bring up the story that happened to me at work not long ago. I was working on a Saturday night, and where I was at was, across the road was an Asian karaoke bar. And it's usually inhabited by people around about the ages of, say, 18 to 30, around that. Yeah.
Young people.
Yeah, young folks. Yeah, them young folks there, John. Yes.
Yeah.
I remember the day when I was young. And let me tell you now. You haven't lived until you've heard about 250 Asians in unison, with broken accents, mind you, sing Billy Joel's Uptown Girl. It is f***ing surreal.
I bet.
Yeah, it's just coming out of the building. Uptown Girl, living my day world.
Uptown Girl.
This is like why I might work, so I should be fucking home getting drunk. Seriously.
Another Hunter intro for the podcast. You should just, you know, clip them all together. And
I'm gonna make that stay back after the show and just record some shit on his own, uninterrupted. It's hard to talk about Baldwin and run like 90 minutes or something, you know.
How many different ways can you say he's bad crazy? You know, I mean.
There's many out there, I suppose.
He's just a guy from Southie who, you know, he and his friends used to call each other f***s, and he was just calling some paparazzi a f***. What's the problem, you know?
I have a friend who is also in like the movie business, and she knows one of his staffers, and she was trying to get this girl to steal his iPhone so that they could prove that sock puppet account was actually his, you know. She
didn't God. I tell you what I do when I bring up, and we'll steer
that was
away.
A joke, by the way, that never happened. That just
no, f- him. He doesn't know that. He's so bat crazy. You said he wouldn't have a clue. He'd be like, who the f*** is trying to steal my iPhone?
Yeah, exactly.
You own a BlackBerry, Alec. Who's trying to steal my f***ing iPhone?
You know what's really funny is his wife is my cousin, and this is all one big elaborate joke on him, but he doesn't know that yet. So, yeah.
Nah, I'm calling bull. Call him absolute bullshit on that. I tell you what, I do want to know. I want to ask this. I'm going to deviate away from Alec Baldwin for a second. I want to know what you guys would think Obama would be doing after his 10 years up.
He's going to be trash talking presidents after him. That's what he's going to be doing.
Yeah, I would agree.
Well, it really depends on what's going to happen from here on out. Like, I could see him go Howard Hughes and just, like, you know, shutter himself in because it's so bad. Like,
move back to Kenya.
Oh God. he is just destroyed, like, all you know, credence in big state, you know, government, and he put his name on it. You know, he put his name on Obamacare, and it's a huge just.
Let me ask you about that, because actually, when you mentioned it on El Super, I thought. No, Obamacare is just a term that we're using. But it was truly was called Obamacare, was it?
Early on, it wasn't. And early on, they called us racist for calling it Obamacare, which doesn't make sense to me. I mean, you know, it's his bill. But yeah. Then during the debates with Mitt Romney at the 2012 election, he started using it. He was just like, yes, you know, they try to pin it on me and try to make this a bad term, but it's true. I do care. And so he started calling it Obamacare. He's been calling it that for the last, you know, since the election. It's only in the last 2 months that he started going back to calling it the Affordable Care Act. So, it you know, goes back and forth depending on how popular it is and how well the website works.
And Hunter and John, do you know how much that website costs, by the way?
No.
Hey, take a guess.
I'd say a billion. Almost. I'd say at least 500 million.
Hannah? I know you hate him, but give me.
It's close to the billion mark.
600. Yeah. What was it, Maxi? 624 million, was it?
I think that's right, yeah.
How the f*** does a website cost so much money?
It's the government, dude!
What a waste!
They're good at wasting money on bullshit.
Well, you know what we say, Stu. You know what we say in America is in America everything is bigger. So, or no, wait, our government is bigger. Our government is bigger.
That's like the Texas fool.
Yeah, that's right.
Like the size of the gays in Texas.
Only the bears. Only the bears. The twinks are smaller.
Yeah, that's true.
The bears.
The bears. Stretch out your.
Well, they are bigger in Texas, right?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
They're big in the big cities, right? Like the like Austin, like all the liberal big cities. You have a lot of
In Dallas, the bear community is huge. They're everywhere. Yeah. I have to fight them off with a stick.
They're they're riding the baloney pony, huh?
All right, John, what do you reckon? What happened? I'm too serious. What do you reckon is going to happen to Obama after his time's up?
I think there'll be, like, once he's out, there'll be, like, a couple of, like, explosive interviews with him saying controversial stuff. They didn't let me do everything I wanted to do while I was president because I couldn't get the power. And then there'll be about 2 years of silence, and then he'll be like a Jimmy Carter and just criticize all
I think he's
going
to be just like Carter. He's going to trash whoever comes after him.
Yeah.
He's going to act like he didn't get to do what he wanted to do. He's going to act like he wasn't able to fulfill the promise of his presidency because of whoever. And people are going to talk about him as a great ex-president and not a good president like they do with Carter. That's what I think is going to happen.
See, my understanding is I think he's actually going to go into a line of clothing after he's done. Called
Hey, yo, I'm taking back the Confederate flag.
He's going to call a line of clothing called O-Dog Streetwear. And Michelle, is it Michelle Obama, the wife?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's going to get... She's
allegedly.
Yeah, she's going to get hooked on crack and be found on seemumsuck.com or something like that.
Oh my Pulling God. Out all the stops on this one, man.
Basically, Stuart...
Aussies have no filter. Aussies have no filter.
You know, that's all that's...
We have no fucking care. That's all we have. You have Obamacare. We don't give a fuck care. That's all we have. We care a lot.
Hey, you didn't say... You didn't. You said you promised this, but you didn't deliver. What was your deal with Gavin McInnes?
He was mad because he posted that video of how to find a baby.
I didn't see that.
I saw his thing about against feminists, and I thought that was actually pretty brilliant. But I didn't see.
I think Gavin McInnes is one of the funniest satirists on the internet.
Let me tell you really... honestly what got me. All right, it was the fact that I know if you're a parent, you know, and you blow wind on a kid's face, you know, they don't like it because they're trying to breathe. So like, if you put kids out in the windy environment. People use shelter over their heads. That's a money. What he did was he picked this baby up who was 10 months old and body slammed it on a bed. And he didn't body slam it and cradle the baby down onto the bed. He picked it up and threw it straight down. Now, babies don't know how to break their fall, especially when they're flat on their back. So right. what they can do is they'll try and learn to break their fall. But if that baby had to turn its head to the left or the right, it could have broken its neck. That's what got me so much.
Oh, okay, I see, yeah.
I mean, I've raised many, many kids, you know, in this house. If I did that and put it on social media and my wife saw it, I'd be gone out of this house. I would never come back and never see him again. I just thought it was an irresponsible thing to do. And then he goes about and says, oh, I've raised three kids, their bones are like rubber. Their bones are not like rubber, they're frail, they're brittle. Mm. And my God, you grab a baby's arm at 10 months old or any age and grab it hard, you're going to break it. So, it's not the fact that he was playing with his kid. I get that. But the fact was, it's the way he threw the kid around that made it seem like it was a joke. And people were saying, oh, it was cute. It made me tear up. But he also could have killed the baby. That's the whole thing.
Yeah, right, right.
That's what got me.
I could see the point that he's making, though, that there's too many, especially young parents, who think that their kids are, you know, like they're the most brittle thing in the world.
I'm like that.
But on the other hand, you don't want to push it. You know, I mean,
he did this interview with Today talking about helicopter parenting, and that's what you know. Right. He said, treat their kids like you know they have to walk around them with radiation suits, you know, with hazmat suits.
That is a huge problem in America, but at the same time, not with babies. Like, with babies, you probably should treat them as gentle.
I mean, it was
just...
I thought the video he made was really funny, and the kid was, like, laughing and having a good time, and I think he knows his own kid, and I think when he made that video, he knew his own kid, and he was having fun with his own kid.
But the kid can't convey back to him, "Don't do this to me." I mean, that what made me think was
the kid's laughing and cooing. Like,
exactly, because I tell you what,
child,
that makes you got to think. Then, but that's got to make you think. Then, if that kid's laughing, that's all he probably knows. So, how many more times has he done this?
No, kids know how to cry, dude. Kids cry when you get them out of your vagina. They know how to cry.
I know that, but if they're conditioned to that sort of treatment, they think it's all a joke because they can't talk to you. They can't say don't do it, stop, don't do this.
No, kids. I'm sorry, but kids, if they're hurting, they cry. They cry if they're hurting. They cry if they cry if anything unpleasant.
Yes, Angelina.
Happening.
All right, no worries. I've got it.
You know, I see what you're saying because it's very similar to what Alec Baldwin did when he put that video on the internet where he was body slamming a black gay guy, and it's just like
what?
Just because you condition them to it doesn't mean they're you know just because he was cooing and laughing doesn't mean it's okay. I mean,
what I'm saying is I think parents know their kids, and I think. I don't think Gavin McInnes was doing anything that he thought was dangerous for his own kid. you know.
Yeah, and like I said, that
is what I'm saying.
But if the kid, he's like, he was assuming the kid knew how to break its fall.
But he's like I'm saying, he probably knew his own kid. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, but you can know your own kid when they're able to speak to it, ages 3, 4, 5 upwards.
No, I'm. Never mind.
This is going to go nowhere.
Yeah,
I know. I haven't raised kids before, but I'm just saying, most parents who are good parents who have had multiple kids, like he has, like
oh,
you
so
have,
you're calling me a bad parent now, are you?
No, I'm saying parents like you, like him,
look,
who have had
guys,
multiple kids.
Look,
but you
look,
you
kids.
Said I was
look,
unfunny.
I have I see both your sides because I have illegitimate children all over America, and I know that their mothers know what's best for them, and they don't just I. I don't have illegitimate children. All over
yes, you do.
Well,
that's why you left Cali.
All you cholos do.
Oh, Jesus.
No, I'm a vato, not a cholo. That's different.
Oh, okay. All you vatos do.
Well.
Oh god. All right. Let's wrap it up. Let's just say this: F*** Alec Baldwin. Seriously.
F*** Alec Baldwin. Like in his rules.
Well, I. He should be used as an example for these other celebrities to learn maybe you shouldn't be a sort of media gadfly outside of your acting activities. Because
you know,
it can destroy your goddamn career.
I think the lesson there is just like take the good with the bad, you know. I think he wants to live a regular life like most Americans and still have fame. And it's like, look, I'm sorry, but it's really pissy to have photographers outside your building all the time, but if you punch them in the face, you're going to get more of them. You know,
that's right. Yeah,
that's the thing. The
and
more
he wants to have
perform,
fame without.
They're all hoping he's going to beat the shit out of him. That's
yeah,
what they're
exactly.
hoping.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Well, didn't they? Like, he accused one of them trying to stick their leg out, so either his wife or himself were going to fall over and they can get the shot of that and him on the ground. Like Alec Baldwin falls on the ground in a drunken stupor or something, even though he's not drunk.
Yeah. Supposedly. No, he's worse than Russell Crowe with Puerto Ricans, you know? I mean, he's just always always looking for trouble, and that's... Sorry, that was... So.
You don't have to be sorry about Russell Crowe.
Stu is Russell Crowe's biggest fan.
Yeah.
Oh, is that right? Oh, wow. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. I just, you,
well, he was
in Mexico.
Stu loves Stuart Balk, Sydney's biggest fan, right?
Well, he was probably best. He was the best Kal-El I've ever seen, so.
I agree.
Yeah.
He was good.
Jor-El, you mean?
Or Jor-El. That's right. Yeah, the dad. The dad. Well, all right. Well, if we're gonna cut this short, I just want to say I really enjoy your podcast. You guys do a great job, and John, like you're freaking hilarious, and I love your Twitter. And Hunter, you're just like you really. There's something about Hunter, like he's so just happy and joyful all the time. It's fantastic.
And until you upset him, and he becomes a complete.
No, you make me laugh the most, but anyway, I'm acting like Dorothy at the end of The Wizard of Oz, and you were there. But I really appreciate your podcast.
What I'm gonna
and
do
it,
with
it,
that?
It was a really great honor to be on here. To be on here.
I've been a fan of your Twitter since well before I even listened to your podcast. You know, like so it's a huge honor to have you on here because you
it,
know,
it really
to
is.
Me you're a legend of the internet, the super mixy, you know. So. Your podcast is way funny, and I'm honored as hell to have
Super
you
Mexican.
Here.
Let me say this.
Well, wait. If that's the case, then why did you make me pay to get on here? I don't understand the.
Because I have a sex addiction.
Yeah, them bears aren't cheap, you know.
That's true.
You need to respect that. I have to get it somewhere.
We need to get you like a a glory hole. Yeah.
I should note that I was first aware of Super Mexican because on my old podcast we did sort of a riff joke and Super Mexican had like a piece of art based on the joke like 3 days later on the web.
Really?
Yes.
Oh yeah. That was awesome.
We had Dean Martin running a comic book store in Vegas.
Store.
And we just did a whole improvised routine on it, and then there was like Super Mexican had artwork up in a couple of days of Dean Martin, you know, holding up a comic book trying to sell it.
That was the best bit ever on your old podcast. That was
so amazing.
Some people told me they almost wrecked their car hearing that.
I was choking on my tongue laughing. Yeah.
I will say this about your podcast. I've actually learned more about American politics through that than I have through news channels. And it is the truth.
That doesn't surprise me at all.
Yeah.
It's like the only political podcast I listen to.
It is for me. I mean, I could care less. I don't even listen to Australian politics. Give a shit about them. I couldn't even tell you who runs the opposition leader. But no, it's true. Like I honestly have learnt more through El Super, Super Mexican, whatever you want to call it, through that than I have done through any others. Yeah, you know what?
Yeah, listen to that. That's it.
Yeah, it actually. And by the way,
buy gold.
I actually have got a hidden IP. I actually am that man in Ghana as well. Let's wrap this sucker up. Super Mexican, as Hunter said, it really was an honor to have you on. We thought it was just a pipe dream that you'd join us one day, and then I just said, let's bite the bullet and just see if you'll do it. And he's like, yeah, man, I'll come on and do the show. I'm trying to do the best Mexi voice now.
Yeah. Oh, let me say really quick, when you guys did a shout out for my show, I was driving on the way to a Bills game, a Buffalo Bills game, and it's really early in the morning, and I was like trying to stay awake and whatever, and I put on these podcasts that I hadn't listened to for a long time, and I was playing it, and you guys got to the end, and I think Stuart or John or somebody, they were like, you wanted to talk about some podcasts you want to give a shout out to, and I honestly thought, I was like, dreaming in my head, like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if they mentioned my podcast? You know? And then, like, a few minutes later, you guys said, I was like, holy shit, that's so awesome.
Hunter and John did it again, I think, on the John Wayne one as well. They gave you guys a shout out.
Yeah, we've done it, but I think Stuart was the first one to shout y'all out on the show. So, credit where credit's due.
Yeah, well, I very much appreciate it.
So. You'll be getting future ones. I want to try and get your other co hosts on. Oh, I think we'll have to go group council meeting before we get Bill on, but we'll go from that next.
I think we'll have to talk about Star Wars or something.
No, yeah. I think what's going to happen is you and Bill will like get into a huge epic fight, and then you'll break off into your own podcast and become multimillionaires in it.
All right, so plug away, sir. What do you want to plug?
You can find me at Super Mexican with two O's, not a U, on Twitter, and also on Twitchy and on Fox News Latino and all sorts of stuff. But really, my Twitter is the best way to find me. So.
And the podcast.
Fighting with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah. I'm screaming my name at, middle of the night, angrily.
Don't call me. That'd be funny as well if actually. It'd be f***ing during sex, he's screwing his wife's going, that Super Mexicana, f***ing kill him.
Sounds like a Photoshop I have to do.
He's got the thought balloon of Mexicans.
You need to, actually, you know what you need to do? And in Mexico, you know what you do? You need to get just all Alec Baldwin titles and just put your name in it somewhere, like Glengarry Glen Super Mexican or something.
If you could really own your Photoshop skills, a shadow poster.
Oh,
that'd be awesome!
Yeah,
I should, or I could overdub all his appearances with my my Mexican accent.
You should do. Because you got a fan in Dana Perino, haven't you? She's got a thing for the Mexi.
Well, we don't want to talk about it in public, but yeah,
she's a good looker, man.
Definitely. Oh, okay. I love her. She's amazing. I've always even before there was Twitter, like I was a great fan of hers. She's just amazing. Yeah. But, yeah.
All right.
I Chris Isaac her.
Well, that's all the time we have for this podcast. We'll see you next week.
You can find us at Midnight Movie Cast.
Oh, wait, Hannah. Wait, I'll tell you what. Since we've got Super Mexican on, all right, and from New York, even though he's an import from Cali, but he's an import. He's still from New York. I'll tell you what, we should do our plugs as New York's favorite son, Andrew Dice Clay. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
All right. John's good. He does the best.
Go on, John.
What?
He doesn't even know the f***ing website to the emails.
I don't even have all that stuff.
Come on, Anna.
I have no idea if we get fan mail.
Come on, Anna. Let's do it. Let's do it.
Email us at midnightmoviecowboys.com. Oh!
Oh! You know why?
Leave us a review on iTunes.
So I pick up this chick the other day and take her back to my apartment to bang her. And I swear to God, man, she takes her panties off and she's got this bush. I said to her, honey, haven't you shaved since 1974 or did a Harlem Globe try to go down here and lose his fucking head, huh?
And then I said, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes.
And where can they find you, honey, you sucker, on Twitter, huh?
Hunter. You can find me at Hunter Deucing D as in David U E S I N G.
Yeah.
Or.
And remember to look out for my new animated series coming out soon. It's about a little old man who's bald and nearly blind from jerking off. It's called Mr. McGill. What about you, Grace, you fucking sucker? Where can I find you on Twitter, huh?
Well, listen here. You can hear me at the real John Grace. You hear that snapper head? And I also got some reviews appearing in exploitation retrospects. Got all that stuff you guys like. And then I'm over here. I'm over occasionally contributing to a print-only zine called Wings Chop. And some good articles in there. And that's all you need to know.
That's all you need.
Joey, get off the roof.
So my chick comes up to me the other night and says, Dice Man, I want to go out and dance. I said to her, honey, take your clothes off, I'll bang you. We can do a dance called the Nut Push. Oh! Oh! Did you get that one super Mexican? My cock was in her vagina.
Hey, explain it again. I didn't quite catch that.
Yeah, you listen back to the fucking podcast, you Chicano, huh? Jesus, I gotta deal with fucking Southerners and fucking Mexicans. All right, let's wrap this f***er up. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys.
Mixie's like, I'm never coming back. Never coming back.
That was brilliant. That was brilliant.
All right. All right. All right. Let's wind it up. All right. Go on, Hannah. Sign yourself out.
All right. Adios, muchachos.
Mahalo.
Quemando leños, el tiempo es de realizar mis sueños. Esto esperado desde muy pequeño. Por nada en el mundo yo cambio esto, aunque el proceso ha sido lento. Los que no esperaban esto, lo siento. Y el dedo les aviento. Nuevo estilo con nuevo modo. Pongan atención, esto no es todo. Soy pariente del recodo. Diario en las calles hacemos bolo.